How far go of you? Is that a common saying? No? So Mark invented that, huh? Okay. He came out with a book on it, and it's caught on, at least around here. Not so much in Bismarck. Mark DeSalle, how far go of you? Joining us right now on the What Do You Know stage here. A beautiful festival hall. In Fargo. Hey, man. How are you? Let's go, Mark. You got your kids in the audience, too? Because I got cards from...
I do. You were talking to my son about badminton a little while ago.
Oh, that was him. Okay, yeah. Out there. Okay, all right. So he's playing badminton, but his friend is not.
No, his friend...
Well, I get him interested in badminton, I think. I need something on the... You know, because they look at that in college admissions and all that sort of stuff. And
I don't know that they look at badminton that often.
Badminton is very important, though. It's Olympic. It is
it
Olympic.
It is true. Have you watched some Olympic badminton? That's some bad stuff.
Yeah, man. It is.
Bad. Bad. Capital B-A-D.
Yeah.
Mitten. Now, you know, this book is based on the fact when you came, when you come from Phoenix?
Arizona, yeah. I lived in Arizona and California all my life.
Yeah.
I was 50 and...
And no one was ever nice to you that whole time in Phoenix or in L.A. You're in L.A. for a while. No one ever said anything to you. And then you come to Fargo and suddenly people are giving you meals and making dog houses for you and pulling you out of ditches. And now, I want to ask you this. Is it something about you...
No.
That brings that out in people. Are you a very needy person and people sense that and want to make it right for you?
Well, I am a needy person. Yeah. Oh. I've always known lots of nice people.
Yeah.
But when you come to Fargo,
yeah.
It's like a totally different level
of nice.
Nice.
Uber nice.
Yeah, good word. I may use that in my next book or something.
Yeah, is it because they're so close to Canada? Canadians are very nice. They're
right.
Known for being nice.
I know.
There's Canadian nice.
Yeah.
And there's North Dakota nice right just below it. Is it
you know, it's related.
Proximity?
And it has to do with the fact that there's this annual crisis called winter. And people learn to be very nice to everybody because if you aren't, and they aren't nice to you next time, you may die in a road under a bunch of snow. So, I'm serious.
Good reason. No, that's a good reason.
The annual crisis of winter has a lot to do with the culture around here.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, there's a lot of parts to it. There's a lot of other things, too, but that's a big deal.
Yeah.
It but trains people to be as incredibly self-reliant, but it also trains them to be incredibly helpful.
Helpful, because you may be the only help around for someone in a dire situation.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't explain why someone would build a doghouse door for you or a dog door for you.
Right.
That's not a dire situation.
Right.
Necessarily.
No, but it's a habit that everybody acquires. And it's actually brilliant if you start thinking about it. which I didn't do because I was so stunned by the culture for the first year or two. I didn't start thinking about it until about year three or four. Mm-hmm. But I moved here in 2005. I was 50. We moved here because we knew the schools were good. And the neighborhoods were safe. And our kids were getting close to teenage years. We had no idea how deep the culture went. And so then I kept getting shock, culture shock after culture shock, of good culture shock. And so, but I did start thinking about it once I started writing the book. And so I'll tell you this story. We'd been here maybe 3-4 weeks. We needed a doggy door. I went out and bought the best doggy door I could find. It wasn't guaranteed to hold up in a 20 below Arctic blast. Every once in a while we do get snow on the living room floor from it. But I don't want to open the door all the time for the dogs. You get a doorman at a...
What kind of dog do you have?
Well, at the time, we had two large golden mixes. And so, you know, you get a doorman when you go to a 5-star hotel. I don't want to be the doorman for my dog. So, at any rate, I had met this carpenter at a rock concert, and briefly, and I called up a friend, and I said, what was the name of that guy we met at the rock concert? And so, anyway, his name was John. I called him up, John... I need a doggy door put in. Can you do that for me? He says, well, I'm building a house, but I'll come by after work tomorrow. So he shows up at 4 o'clock. I show him where I want it, and I'm figuring I'm going to get an estimate. The guy's been working all day on a house. He starts sawing a hole in the wall. So I figured, well, I really want this doggy door. That's okay. And then he figures out pretty quick, well, Mark, we have a problem because your wall is north wall, so it's very thick to keep the house warm. It's framed with 2x6s. And the bolts that come with the doggy door are made for a regular wall. So I'm going to have to custom make some bolts here. I've never heard of a carpenter custom making bolts at that time. But anyway, I said, well, okay, I'll run out and get, can I just go look for the right size bolt for you? He says, they won't have it. He said, you got to go buy me some, if you're going to run an errand for me, that's great. You got to buy me some threaded dowels and I'll make the bolts. So I took one of the bolts from the doggy door kit and I didn't believe him. So I went to Menards and Home Depot and Lowe's and ended up at Max, and he was right. Nobody had a bolt that was the right diameter that was long enough. So I ended up buying the threaded dowels like he had told me to do at Max. Took him back. He'd had everything framed out that he's hanging out with the dogs, you know. So he's waiting for me. So I hand him these threaded dowels, and he starts cutting them into the right length, hacks on them in. So I said to him, I said, John, I remember Melody said you used to live in Arizona. Where were you? Oh, yeah, I got my master's degree there in Arizona. Oh, your master's degree. Well, what was that in? It was some kind of social work. I don't remember what it was. He says, yeah, and after that, right down the street, I got my doctorate. Clunk, as another bolt drops, you know. Your doctorate? I'm watching a carpenter here. I'm starting to figure out the economy of Fargo. It's the hidden story of the economy of Fargo. There's a lot of PhDs who are carpenters. But anyway, because so many talented people want to live here for the culture, they give up a whole lot of potential career opportunities to come to Fargo and live here. But anyway, but that's not the only story. So he's hacks on these bolts. So you got a doctor. What's your doctorate in? And he says, a ministry. I said, ministry? Is that like a doctor of divinity or something? He kind of chuckled. He says, yeah, kind of like that. Clunk. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say anything at the time, I was thinking to myself, I wonder, if you really understand Jesus, do you become a carpenter? And later when the book came out and John read the story, he came up to me at a party that we were at and he says, you know, I think you kind of got it right there, Mark. But that has to do with church politics and stuff. But anyway, which he didn't want to have any part of. But at any rate, so then within 10 minutes after that, he's wrapping up this doggy door, and it looks gorgeous with his custom-fitted bolts and everything. And I'm getting my checkbook out, and I'm thinking, okay, he's been here 3 hours, including my, you know, hour of running around looking for bolts that weren't there that he told me not to look for. And I'm thinking, 3 hours, he's really good, $75 an hour, $225 is what I'm thinking to myself. I like to warn myself of these things ahead of time. And I say, okay, John, so what do I owe you? He says, nothing. It's a housewarming gift. Oh. And, yeah, yeah. Hey, John, I hope you're listening. That applause was for you. Yeah, yeah. And I've got, no, John, you've been here 3 hours. He just stood up. He's got this great grin. He gave me this big grin, stuck out his hand, said, welcome to Fargo. And so these were the kinds of things that kept happening over and over and over again.
But surely, now that's one example, and that's a great example. And actually, a tear came to my eye.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
It might be allergies. Yeah. It might be.
No, I think Kristen left some onion up here.
The housewarming gift. That's very sweet.
But that's how I came up with the phrase, how Fargo of you, because you can't say thank you to that or how nice of you. It's inadequate.
Yeah.
So I finally, after these things kept happening, I was like, okay, how Fargo of you.
Right. And like the story for the newspaper, the guys who pulled Justin Bieber's truck into the bean place.
That's normal.
Wouldn't take
here.
Anything for
that
it.
That is normal.
Except
t-shirts.
Got t-shirts. Those are worth something, I guess.
That is normal. You know, when I ran into Kristen, your earlier guest, as soon as she saw me, she said, oh, Mark, she said, I had a Shanley boy story, because that's chapter 2, which is before chapter 3, the one I just told you. She said, oh, yeah, no, I moved like a month ago, and I had these kids helping me, and they wouldn't take any money, and I couldn't get anything for them, and they just wanted to do it. Yeah, so it is, you know, Fargo teaches you.
Well, what the heck is that, then?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's a mystery, but it's a wonderful mystery.
And even at the Bismarck Tavern there.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. You talk about Lou, the guy from Louisiana? Is that what
you're saying? Yeah, you know, I mean, the Bismarck has a reputation as it's kind of like a Viking hangout.
It is.
And you don't expect to get help from a Viking necessarily.
No, but you know, there was this thing that happened 1,000 years ago, which was the Christianity made it up there. Mm. And I'm convinced that there was something weird that happened because the Vikings could really relate to that guilt trip that Paul was laying on them. Because Jesus never laid a guilt trip on anybody, but Paul did. They could really relate to that because they didn't have any grudges. They had just been, you know, Europe for them was a buffet.
Yeah.
So when Christianity made it up there, they took it to heart in a way that other places that still kind of had grudges. Like, yeah, well, I like this Christian thing, but I still want to get back at that guy.
Right.
They didn't have anybody to get back at. They had been doing it to them for centuries.
Yeah.
That is part of the heritage.
But, you know, it ruined the whole raping and pillaging thing, though.
It did.
Couldn't do it after that.
The story of Leif Erikson and his dad. I mean, Erik the Red, his dad, was one of the baddest Vikings. He was such a bad Viking, they kicked him out of Norway, and then they kicked him out of Iceland, and he ended up in Greenland. And then his son, his wife, Erik the Red's wife, and became a Christian, and his son became a Christian. And from everything we can tell, man, these were some pacifist Christians. Now they were still.
Now, you're saying the Bismarck Tavern?
Yeah.
Is a Christian hangout?
No, no. But
a street mission for Viking Christianity.
Here's the truth. Here's how I know about the Bismarck. I got a call when I was on the radio one day talking about how Fargo view. And this guy had just come up from Louisiana 2 weeks earlier. His first night in Fargo, he gets stuck in a snowbank because he'd never driven in the snow. He walks into the Bismarck, and he's telling us on the radio, and he says, "Now I got to tell you, because he walked into the Bismarck, it was the only place open where he could get some help," he thought. And he said, "I got to tell you, I'm a black guy from Louisiana, and I didn't know what to expect." And I walked in there, and I swear to God, Michael, he used these exact words. This is why I had to write this story. He said, "And I walked in there, and I found myself surrounded by giant bearded Norsemen." Dan, the DJ, and I are listening to him, and we're wondering what's going to happen next. And he said, "So I went over to the bartender kind of quietly, and I said, 'Do you have a phone here I can use?'" And he pointed down to the end of the bar. There was a phone there. And I started going, and one of the big guys stopped me, and he said, "So what do you need a phone? What do you need a phone for?" You know, giant bearded Norseman. "What do you need a phone for?" And Lou said, "Explain." "Well, I got stuck in a snowbank outside." And he said, as I'm explaining this to him, he reaches into his pocket, he pulls out his car keys, and he hands them to me. And he says, "Well, you can use my truck to get it out. It's the big red one right out front. It's got a strap in the back." And we're laughing, and Lou says, he says, "Where I come from, people don't hand the car keys to strangers." So we're laughing. We said, so what'd you do? He says, "Well, I didn't take the keys because I didn't even know what a strap in the back was. That was my first night in Fargo." For those of you not from Fargo, a strap in the back is something you keep there so you can rescue people who get stranded on the side of the road in a snowdrift. I've gotten stuck a couple of times on the side of the road, and I've never waited more than about 20 seconds for somebody with a strap in the back. I swear to God, 20 seconds to stop and pull me out. And so, at any rate, then one of the other big guys, he said, just elbowed him and said, "Oh, don't make him do it himself. Let's go." And he described them as three muscled-up young Santas just pushed him out of the snowbank and stuck him. So these are how Fargo view stories. This is what the culture is like up here. It's kind of a mystery.
Let me ask you this then. Now, you're from Phoenix and all that.
Yeah.
So you're not a natural-born Fargoan.
No.
Can one achieve Fargo-ness? And how does one achieve Fargo-ness? Is it difficult to do? Because I think, you know, like I said, when I come here, I feel embarrassed to be me, you know, with all my egregious shortcomings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people are so nice, you know, nice for no reason. Nice for no reason. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Nice for no reason.
Yeah. How can you attain that state?
I don't, you know, it's kind of like a, can you attain pure nirvana? Well, no, I'm not sure you can. But the people around who really have the total Fargo-ness are so nice it makes you feel like you have. So, if you get it, I mean, there's a thing about Fargo. I've talked to, of course, hundreds of people about this, And every once in a while, you'll meet an angry person. Yeah. And if somebody walks through Fargo angry, they will never know that Fargo-ness exists. Mm. They will think that people are a little standoffish around here. Because when you see someone angry around here, it's kind of weird. You kind of, stay away from them. It's not like New York where you just kind of want to cuddle. But, you know, anger is a sign of affection in some parts of the country, but it isn't around here. And so if you get it and you're honest about your own faults, then, yeah, it's wonderful. Mm. It's really, you know, then it flows around.
So is there a how Bismarck of you? Is that coming out now or...?
No.
How St. Louis? Are you doing a series of books? How St. Louis of you?
No.
How Orlando of you?
No. I'm going to do a How Fargo of You 2, T-O-O, yeah. Which is lots of other people's stories. One of the things that happened after I wrote the book and I put it out, I started hearing bazillions of stories all the time, and I started doing the math on it. I realized, okay, I've had about 30 of these things happen in the 5 years we had lived here, and so that's... you know, that's 6 a year for me, and if you multiply that, the metro area here is about 200,000. And I went, 6 times 200, wow, there's probably over 1 million of these things happening to people every year around here.
Yeah.
And there are. There's just bazillions of these kinds of stories. And
you get a good sampling of them if you read How Fargo of You, Mark Dussel.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming here and sharing Fargo-ness with us. Mark Dussel, How Fargo of Him, to write this. Thank you, man. Love it. Lessons in Kindness for America's Most Surprising Success. Mark Dussel. How Fargo of You.